Good morning again. Please open in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. It's on page 982, I believe it is, if your pew Bible. Jonah, we're wrapping up chapter 1 in that we're going to cover the last verse of chapter 1 and considering all of chapter 2 this morning. So we're going to be reading Jonah chapter 1, verse 17 through chapter 2, verse 10. So hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. I still hear a lot of flipping, so I'm going to wait just a second. Okay, hear the reading of God's holy and inspired word. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the root of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Our Lord in heaven, we thank you for these accounts of your deliverance in the life of your people. And we thank you, Lord, for how it shows us, directs us, sets our minds upon the greatest moment of deliverance for your people in the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we pray that you, by your Spirit this morning, would remind us of our deliverance in Jesus, and out of our mouths would come forth praise and thanksgiving. Use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, have you praised the Lord in your life lately? I know we've just done that for the last half hour or so. And I know you did that last week if you were here. But I'm curious, I'm wondering whether you have praised the Lord in your life between Sundays, in the Monday through Saturday of your life. Have you praised the Lord? Have you thought upon and given thanks to the Lord for his kindness to you, for his deliverance in your life, or for preserving you from something? Could be something big, could be something small. But have you given thanks to the Lord for how he has delivered you in one way or another? A friend of mine, he's a chef in a restaurant, and quite a while back, he was back in the kitchen dicing up some vegetables rather quickly. And a coworker called his name, and he lifted his head up and to give attention to his coworker's name, and he felt the slice of the knife coming down onto his finger. And at that moment, his heart began to sink. And as he looked down, thinking there was going to be blood everywhere, he realized that he only had just sliced off just the very tip of his finger. And that immediately caused him to thank the Lord. He said, thank you, God, for preserving my finger. And that might seem like a very small thing, but the Lord preserved him in that instance, in that time of distraction, that time of folly. The Lord delivered his hand, and it gave him cause to praise the Lord. He renews his praise for the Lord every time he looks at his finger, and every time he's chopping vegetables, that instance comes to mind, and he thinks of how the Lord preserved him. And that's the way it is when you remember what the Lord has done for you. When you call to mind how you have been delivered, it causes you to give the Lord thanks and to give him praise. And this is what we see in our text this morning. That last time we saw Jonah, he had been cast into the sea so that that sea would become calm for these sailors. But now we see that the Lord rescues Jonah. And Jonah responds in prayer, and in his prayer, he recounts how the Lord has brought him deliverance. He remembers the Lord's deliverance, and he gives thanks and praise to his God. And that's my hope for you this morning, that you would remember the Lord's deliverance in your life. And as a result, give him thanks and praise. That's the main point for you this morning. Remember the Lord's deliverance and give him thanks and praise. Now, the first thing we see in our text is how the Lord rescued Jonah from death and destruction. Look at how Jonah was rescued in the last part of chapter 1. We read, "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." So Jonah had been cast overboard into the sea from the ship, and now he's drowning in the midst of the sea. His sin and rebellion against God had brought him to this point, and now it is time to experience the consequences of his actions. But what we see is that the Lord showed Jonah mercy. An amazing display of God's providence. The Lord had prepared a great fish to respond to Jonah's dire situation. Now, the text said that the Lord appointed or prepared this fish. And that word in Hebrew can simply mean he supplied this fish for Jonah, to Jonah. And who knows where that fish was before this time, but in God's power, he directed this great fish to be located right under that ship, right under that vessel. And that's just what we see what the Lord did. He supplied this great fish to rescue Jonah. And like a lifeguard who dives into a pool, scooping up a drowning man from the bottom, Yahweh supplies this great fish to swallow Jonah and bring him to safety. Our God is a sovereign God who exercises his providence, his control over everything, to bring about his purposes in this world. And here we see God exercising his sovereignty over his creation to bring about the salvation of this man. And this verse makes it absolutely clear. It's stated in such a way to make it absolutely clear that though the Lord uses means, he is the one who saved Jonah's life. And friends, this is just how it is in your life as well. The Lord has rescued you from death. The Lord has rescued you from destruction by his sovereign power. At some point in your life, you were facing death and destruction. Your sin has made you liable to the judgment of God. And whether you were an unbeliever who was liable to the pains of hell forever, or you were a believer living in disobedience to the Father and experiencing his strong discipline and chastisement, the Lord has made use of many means to bring you where you are today. He has supplied many forms of rescue to bring you where you are today. And he is the one who has rescued you from drowning in your sin and misery. He is the one who is worthy of praise. Even though he uses means, the Lord is at the helm of all of those means to bring himself praise, honor, and glory. You are here today because the Lord has brought you here. And I want you to think about that, not just those of you who have been saved by the Lord, but if you're here this morning and you have yet to confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, consider all the ways the Lord has worked in your life to bring you to this point, to the very point that you would be sitting here this morning to hear the gospel of grace, to hear the message of God's merciful salvation to you. Whether you've been born into a covenant home and have yet to profess Jesus as your Lord, or whether you're here this morning as an unbeliever and you find yourself sitting in this group this morning to hear the gospel preached, this is the Lord's doing. And it should be marvelous in all of our eyes. The Lord has brought you here today that you might hear the message of salvation and be delivered, and along with the rest of God's people, give thanks and praise to God. And praise is just what Jonah gives to the Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 2 records that Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. He prays a psalm of thanksgiving to God, what we heard this morning, kind of a weaving together of lots of different psalms of thanksgiving unto God. And he begins with a simple praise to the Lord for his deliverance. He provides a simple summary of Yahweh's salvation. Look at how he begins in verse 2 of chapter 2. He says, "I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice." So after the great fish swallowed Jonah in the sea, I think it's then, honestly, that he realized that he had been rescued by the Lord. Just think about all the things that Jonah had experienced up to this point. How he's been pressed to see the Lord's hand and his sovereign control in every step of his experience to this point. How God was bending or directing the storm to his will to get to Jonah. How the Lord made the sea rage and rage more tempestuous to keep Jonah from just being dropped off. How the Lord brought the lot to fall on Jonah. The Lord is directing everything for the sake of getting to Jonah. And here is just one more example of the Lord directing nature and his providence to get to Jonah. I think once the fish swallowed him, he thought, this must be of the Lord. And as he continued to persist alive in that fish, all the more being convinced that the Lord has saved him, he has to give praise to God for his deliverance. And he begins with an overview of what happened to him. This verse 2 here serves as a summary of the more detailed account that follows in verses 3 through 7. Jonah here expresses the immediate joy of his rescue with a short and simple statement of the facts. "I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me." Out of the belly of Sheol, from the depths of the grave, essentially, I cried, and you heard my voice. What Jonah says here summarizes his whole experience, doesn't it? This is similar to like when you know someone's playing an away game somewhere, maybe a championship baseball game or soccer game that you really wish you could go and watch, but for one reason or another, you can't go to the game, and you're back at home anxiously awaiting the outcome of the game. And when the game finishes up, your friend who's playing or your child who's playing sends a message, a text message, in just two words: "We won. We won." Those two words summarize everything that's happened in that game. Essentially, we won. And undoubtedly, when you get to talk to your friend or to your child, they're going to fill you in to all of the details that happened that brought them to that place of victory. They'll explain that phrase, "we won," in much greater detail. But "we won" are enough to express everything. And likewise, these two sentences here that Jonah speaks provide that initial summary of all that's gone on in Jonah's experience after being cast into the sea. I was about to die, but I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me. And a simple confession like this, brothers and sisters, can go a long way in reminding us of what the Lord has done in our lives. Simple phrases like, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead, but now I am alive. I was blind, but now I see. Reminding ourselves in a simple way of how God has rescued us from death is a very good thing to do. It provides us with some orientation about who we are and how God is the one who is responsible for saving us. Little statements like that give us pause and cause us to praise our God for his deliverance. And so I'd even encourage you to get out some note cards or some sticky notes and come up for yourself a simple phrase that summarizes the Lord's work of deliverance in your life. Maybe it is something as simple as, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was dead, but now I am alive. But a simple phrase, just a couple of sentences that summarizes God's work of deliverance in your life. And then you can put that on your mirror in the morning when you wake up. And you get up and you go to get ready for work or school. You see that little reminder of what the Lord has done. It's on your desk at work or on your computer screen or on your dashboard as you drive to wherever you go. These little reminders of the gospel to you every day will reorient your heart to remind you of who you are and who it is that saved you. It's good to have these little reminders of the gospel. And yet, meditating more deeply on what the Lord has rescued us from can all the more provide us with some reason to praise our God. And this is just what we see Jonah doing. After summarizing his affliction, his cry to the Lord, and his deliverance, Jonah goes into more detail. And he honestly remembers how dreadful his condition really was. Look at what he says in verse 3. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. So Jonah is now recounting the awful condition, situation he was in before he was rescued. And in doing so, he heightens his awareness of how great a deliverance he has experienced. I'm sure you've heard before that in order to really appreciate the good news, you need to fully appreciate the bad news first. And that's sort of what Jonah is doing here. He's remembering how bad things were for him, and in so doing, he sets the stage for God's mighty deliverance and work in his life. And likewise, it's good to remember the dreadful condition that you and I were in. It's not just the fact that you and I were going to hell, which is dreadful enough. But friends, how we used to walk according to the course of this world, enslaved to the devil, living continually in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, being by nature children of wrath and living that out in this world. Remembering who we were and what would have become of us, remembering the depths from which the Lord has saved us, will help us not take his grace for granted. And it will cause us to bless his name more and more. Friends, consider where you would be today if the Lord had not intervened in your life. You would not be sitting here this morning. And you may not be breathing this morning. If the Lord had not intervened, what gods of this world would you be worshiping? How would you be living your life if God had not arrested you and brought you to life? Praise God for his deliverance. It's good to remember these things. But Jonah doesn't just remember his dreadful condition, but he also remembers the point when he cried out to God. You can see this in verses 4 and 7. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. Verse 7, When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Jonah calls to mind the moment when he was completely at the end of his rope. He had rebelled against God and had been experiencing the dreadful consequences of his sin. Everything in Jonah's world was crashing down around him. Nothing was working out anymore for him, and his life is about to slip away. And yet the only thing that remained constant in his mind was the steadfast truth that Yahweh is a God of mercy. Yahweh is a God of mercy. It was this truth that had actually driven Jonah to this point, wasn't it? Jonah had fled because he didn't want God to have mercy on the Ninevites. But now Jonah finds himself completely at the mercy of this same God. And when Jonah's soul had completely fainted within him, and he's about to give up the ghost, so to speak, he remembered the Lord. He remembered the truth that God is mercy. God is mercy. He remembers that God's character does not change, and praise God for that. Praise God that he remains a God of mercy for his people. He said, though I am driven away from your sight, yet shall I again look upon your holy temple. Even though my sin has driven me from you, and now I face the judgment, I will look to you in your temple. The physical temple was the place where God had set his name. It was where the symbols of mercy and forgiveness were found for sinners. And Jonah says, and he prays that his prayer would come up to God. And he does that. He prays and he says, my prayer came up to you into your holy temple. It went up to heaven where God ultimately dwells and from where his mercy ultimately flows. He remembered that. And so the question for you then is, do you remember that? Do you remember the time when you cried out to God to be merciful to you? Do you remember that point in your life when you were at the point you recognized that all hope was lost apart from Jesus Christ, and you cried out to him for mercy, and he was there? Maybe you remember the time when you were first saved, or maybe you remember the time when you finally stopped running from God and you cried out to the one whom you had confessed in the past, remembering that his character never changes, that he is a God of mercy. He is mercy. Or maybe you remember crying out to God after you have sinned again, and you find that continual fount of mercy. The one who is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's at those points that you recognize that the Lord is your only hope. And calling those moments to mind reminds you now that the Lord is still your only hope. And such a reminder can and should lead you to honor and praise your Savior and God, Jesus Christ. Because he is the only one. He is the only one who can and does bring you salvation. And that's what Jonah brings to mind next. He remembers how the Lord, it was the Lord who brought him deliverance. Look now at the center of our passage, verses 5 and 6. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. And yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Once again, Jonah's reflecting on how desperate his situation is. I mean, just listen to the description there. He's in the heart of the sea, and the seaweed and things that are growing there are wrapping around him. He can't even swim up because he's trapped. He's being held down. He is going to die. His lungs are about to give out their final breath. He's drowning in the sea. He realizes that his life is completely lost. He says, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. He knew that there was only just a little bit of life left in him. He was as good as dead. And had it not been for the Lord, Jonah would have surely perished. Yet he says, you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. In essence, Jonah is saying, you, my God, have brought me back from the dead. Right? He was as good as dead. And you, my Lord, have brought me back from the dead. And was this not the case for you as well? When you were dead in your trespasses and sins, God made you alive together with Christ Jesus. The curse of death with its bars closed behind you and would have held you forever. Sin wrapped around your mind like the weeds wrapped around Jonah's head, holding you captive. And yet God brought you to life, freeing you from the curse of death and enslavement to sin, to live for, to praise and to worship your God and Savior who is blessed forever. Amen. And so worship and give thanks to God is the response of one who's been delivered. To worship and give thanks to God is the response of one who's been delivered. And that's just what Jonah does. He offers Yahweh thanks and praise. He says in verse 8, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. Meaning those who worship idols, they deny themselves of any hope. They deny themselves of any mercy or love from the Lord because there is none to be found in those false gods. They cannot be saved. And so to turn to the things in this life that grant you hope or satisfaction or peace or things that you pursue to bring any measure of salvation are empty and vain because that comes only from one place. And that is from the Lord God Almighty. And so Jonah says, but I, in verse 9, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Why? Because salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah's response to the Lord's deliverance was thanksgiving to God and a life of willing service to him. Thanksgiving to God and a life of willing service to him. Because what else is there to give to God in return for his deliverance? All Jonah had was his voice to give, to render thanks to God, and his life to live, which God had preserved according to his will. He's giving his voice, he's giving his life to the Lord, and this is exactly what the Apostle Paul instructs us to do. Right after that great unpacking of salvation in the book of Romans, Romans 1 through 11, highlighting God's salvation and God's mercy. What does he say? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then the writer to the Hebrews will go on to say, therefore, by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, giving our lives, giving our mouths to the Lord, praising him and living for him in response to his merciful deliverance. Remembering the Lord's deliverance in your life will help you to do these things more and more. And friends, this prepares you to serve the Lord more and more. Look at how this passage concludes in verse 10. In verse 10, we're told, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. So once again, we see God exercising his sovereign power here over his creatures by speaking to this fish. And the fish spits Jonah out onto dry land. It vomits him out onto dry land. This book is very colorful, isn't it? We have God hurling a great storm upon the sea, and then the sailors hurl Jonah into the sea. Jonah gets swallowed by the fish, and now he gets vomited onto the shore. This is a very visceral kind of a book here. But the Lord has taken Jonah by this fish to the very place the sailors had so desperately tried to take him, but couldn't do it. Remember, they were trying to row him to shore. They were digging in their oars into that water to get back to dry land, and they couldn't do it. But God does. God directs by his providence this fish to spit him out on dry land. Because God wanted to show Jonah how Yahweh is the God of deliverance. How he is the God who shows mercy to sinners. Jonah needed to learn that just as God shows mercy to him when he cries out to be saved so that God would be worshiped, God will show mercy to those Ninevites when they cry out to him for mercy so that he will be worshiped. And this is one of the other lessons that can be learned from remembering your own deliverance. When you think deeply about how you have been saved, you begin to truly see the heart of God. You see his passion for saving sinners, even the chief of sinners. And then you become inflamed with that same passion, that others would find the mercy of God. They would call out to him and be saved, that he would be glorified. And so, brothers and sisters, let's remember the Lord's deliverance in our lives. Remember how the Lord rescued you from death and destruction, and every day praise him in a simple way for that salvation. But don't forget the details. Don't forget the dreadful condition you were in. Don't forget either the point when you cried out to God or renewed your faith toward the Lord and how the Lord brought you deliverance. Because as Jesus reminds us in the Gospel of Luke, the one who has been forgiven much loves much. And when you remember the Lord's deliverance in your life, when you remember from where he has brought you and from what he has saved you, you will give thanks and praise to God. And remembering the Lord's work, remembering the work of Jesus for us, is just what we're here to do this morning, isn't it? Especially as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. That meal given to us by Christ to remind us that after Jesus lived that righteous life on our behalf, he gave over his body to be broken, his blood to be shed for the forgiveness of our sins. He gave over his soul to the wrath of God so that we would never have to taste it. And though the Lord's Supper is a reminder and a proclamation of the Lord's death for our sin and our salvation, it is not a dead Savior whom we worship this morning. But as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish and was, for all intents and purposes, returned from death to life, Jesus the Christ was dead 3 days in the grave and was raised to newness of life. And it is the work of this living Savior which we remember this morning. It is his mercy. It's the mercy of this living Savior that he grants to us by grace through faith in him as we feed upon him. And so, brothers and sisters, remember the Lord's deliverance. Rest in the Lord's deliverance and give him thanks and praise. May it be so for his glory and for your eternal good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your mercy and grace to us and how you have indeed rescued us. Lord, convince us of this and remind us of this, that we would be a people living and singing your praises all of our days. Do this again for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.